Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Nora. Right, so here's a question for you. What if accessibility tech didn't need to be perfect, just communicative? Because that's one thing worth highlighting this week. Researchers at Binghamton University built a robotic guide dog that talks to its user, not in a robotic turn left way, but actually describing what it sees, adjusting its route based on what the person prefers, narrating the environment in real time. 7 legally blind participants tested this thing navigating a multi-room office. And what they preferred wasn't just the autonomous navigation bit, it was the combination. Hearing both, "Here's how I'll get you to the conference room," and "We're entering a long corridor now. There's an obstacle ahead on the right." That preference tells you something really important. The tech doesn't need to be flawless to be useful. It needs to communicate what it's doing and why. It needs to be a partner, not just a tool. The robot used an LLM to generate that real-time narration, describing scenes, obstacles, the layout. And the users trusted it more because of that transparency. They could make decisions with the robot, not just follow it blindly. The takeaway? Accessibility isn't about perfect autonomous systems, it's about building trust through communication, and that's a design principle that applies way beyond guide dogs. Worth thinking about for any AI system meant to work alongside humans, right? Okay, so this next one is fascinating, and it's making me rethink everything about AI economics. Ben Thompson wrote a piece this week about Anthropic's new frontier model, Mythos. But the story isn't the model itself, it's how they're releasing it. They're not opening it to everyone. They're limiting access to a finite number of high-paying customers. And that's not because the model isn't ready, it's because they literally don't have enough compute to serve more people. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Microsoft admitted last quarter that they could have hit their Azure revenue targets if they'd just allocated all their new GPUs to customers. But they didn't. They prioritize their own M365 and GitHub Copilot workloads instead, because those have higher margins and lifetime value. So what's happening here? We've moved from a world of marginal costs to opportunity costs. In the old tech world, serving one more user cost almost nothing. But with AI, serving one customer means you can't serve another. The compute is finite. Ben's insight is brilliant. The winner in this game won't be whoever builds the biggest data center. It'll be whoever owns the demand that justifies the data center spend. Think about that for a second. If you're OpenAI, you need customers locked into your ecosystem so badly that you can justify buying $10 billion worth of GPUs. If you're Anthropic, you need enterprise contracts that prove you're worth the allocation. This isn't about who has the best model anymore, it's about who controls the distribution, who owns the relationship with the end user, who can guarantee that when they spin up capacity, it'll actually get used. The takeaway? Compute constraints are reshaping competitive dynamics in AI. And if you're building on someone else's API, you're building on someone else's allocation priorities. Have a think about where that leaves the smaller players. Right, so moving from economics to security. Google DeepMind just published a paper on how to attack AI agents. And this one is properly unsettling. They're not talking about traditional hacking. They're talking about sentences, words. You can break an AI agent by injecting adversarial commands into CSS metadata. You can saturate content with manipulative language. You can fabricate data in retrieval corpora. Jack Clark covered this in Import AI this week, and he outlined 6 genres of attacks: prompt injection, adversarial content, saturated manipulation, fabricated retrieval data. The list goes on. And the thing is, these aren't theoretical. They work, right now, on production systems. The reason this matters is that we're deploying agents everywhere: customer service bots, research assistants, code review tools. And if those agents are pulling information from the web or from user-provided documents, they're vulnerable. The takeaway: AI agents are powerful because they can act autonomously, but that autonomy is also the attack surface. And right now, there's no good defense except don't trust them with anything critical. Something to think about if you're building agent-based systems. Okay, I need to lighten things up a bit because this next one made my day. A developer wanted to build a better shell, you know, the terminal you type commands into. But then he realized something. The shell isn't actually where the output happens, the PTY is, the pseudo terminal. It's the layer between the shell and the actual terminal emulator. So instead of building a shell, he built a PTY proxy, it's called Tilens. And it does something brilliant. It structures all your terminal output into navigable blocks. You can search through it. You can copy entire blocks cleanly without wrestling with line wrapping. You can jump between commands. It's like version control for your terminal session. The reason I love this story is the insight. He didn't try to force the solution into the obvious place. He went looking for where the data actually flows and intervened there instead. That's good engineering, not how do I make the shell better, but where is the shell not on the data path, and can I work there instead? Full disclosure. I've been thinking about this all morning. Because how many times do we try to solve a problem by patching the obvious layer when the real use is somewhere else entirely? The takeaway? Sometimes the best place to solve a problem isn't where the problem appears to be. It's where the data flows. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. Right. Last one. And this one is a bit nerdy, but bear with me. Someone did an analysis of React agents, you know, the reasoning and acting loop that most AI agents use, and they found that 90% of retries are wasted, not on model mistakes, on hallucinated tool calls. The agent invents a tool that doesn't exist, calls it, fails, retries, wastes compute, wastes time, and the proposed fix isn't better prompting. It's structural. Three changes. 1. Validate tool calls before execution. 2. Return structured errors when validation fails. 3. Implement early stopping when the agent is stuck in a loop. Now, here's why this matters. Most teams building agents right now are tuning prompts, trying to coax better behavior out of the model. But if the architecture itself is wasteful, you're optimizing the wrong thing. The takeaway? Reliability doesn't come from better prompts, it comes from better structure. And if your agent is burning through retries, fix the loop, not the model. I'd love to know what you think. Are we spending too much time on prompt engineering and not enough on agent architecture? So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The compute constraint is real. The attacks on agents are real. But the opportunity is also real. We're in this weird moment where the models are good enough, but the infrastructure, the economics, the security, none of that is settled yet. And that means there's still room to build things differently, to intervene where the data flows, to prioritize communication over perfection, to design for trust, not just capability. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.